Good morning. Move this guy. It's very good to be with you all this morning. I just want to say really briefly thank you for the ways that you guys have loved my family, and I'm sure I speak for Rocky as well. We are really thankful for the ways that this church has welcomed us and ministered to us and sacrificed for us. And we are really, really grateful. We've enjoyed worshiping with you. If you don't know, my name is Jay Haynes, and my partner Rocky Komatsu here. Rocky, could you raise your hand? Rocky and I hope to plant a church in Waiahu, and we hope to do this in January of 2019. We've been hanging out with you guys for the past year, and we've really benefited from your partnership. And so I really am thankful for you guys, and I want you to know that. This morning, we're going to be in Galatians, the letter to Galatia from Paul. Paul's writing to people he shared the gospel with and established a church through. And we're reading kind of the end of that letter. So Galatians chapter 6, first 10 verses. And this is a good, encouraging text. It can get kind of complex because there's a few commands, and I think that they can be summed up in three specific big commands. The first is bear your own load. The second command would be bear the burdens of one another. And the third command would be do not grow weary. So those are kind of the big three that I think when Paul gives, he gives a couple of command statements, right, imperatives. But I think they can all be summed up in these three. And on the outset, it seems like maybe there's some contradiction here. Is this not contradictory? So in the text, you've got the command to bear your own load, but at the same time, the command to bear one another's burdens. So which one is it? Do I bear my own load, or do I bear the burdens of others? Also in the text, we see Paul commanding or saying that, you know, we have reason to boast in ourselves. So in verse 4, it says, let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone. Well, that's really kind of off the wall, Paul, because typically Paul's command is not to boast, right? So we've got Ephesians 2, verse 8 says, for by grace you've been saved. And he says, so that no one may boast. Romans 3, 27, then what becomes of boasting? It's excluded, right? 1 Corinthians 1, 29, or 28 and 29, he says, God chose what is low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. So on the outset, it seems like maybe there's some contradiction, something weird about the structure of this paragraph. And I want to be really clear. And so, just up front, I'm going to give you the entire structure of what I'm going to teach today. So if you're taking notes, and you're really bad at taking notes, today's a good day for you, because I'm going to give you all of my points right now, no surprises at the end of the sermon, or anywhere in the middle of the sermon, the three points of the sermon and the main point. So the main point of the sermon this morning is persevere in normal Christian life. Persevere in normal Christian life. And I've got 3 points, and they are the 3 commands that I think everything in this paragraph is summed up in these 3 commands. The 3 commands are my 3 points here. The first is, bear your own load. The second point is, bear one another's burdens. And the third point is, bear everything with perseverance. Bear your own load, bear one another's burdens, and bear everything with perseverance. So let's read the text, and then we'll jump into this structure here, okay? So Galatians 6, verse 1, Paul says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will reap from the flesh, reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your gospel, for saving us, and for helping us to understand your word. We pray that you would be with us now, that you would fill us with your Spirit, that we would be drawn to worship you because of your goodness in providing us with your word. And we pray that you would help us to understand it and apply it. Pray this in your name. Amen. All right. So again, 3 points. Bear your own load, bear one another's burdens, bear everything in perseverance. So this is a really, really dense text, and there's a lot of things that we could cover. There are a lot of doctrines that flow out of this text, and we're going to have to skip over a number of them to get to a main point. We don't have time to cover everything. This is really a text that should have like 3 Sundays. But we got one, so we're going to do the best we can. Point one, bear your own load. So you've got this really feel-good verse, right? It says, bear one another's burdens. And that makes you feel good when you hear that, right? When you think about, that's why CrossFit is such a big deal nowadays. It's because you're not going to work out by yourself. You're not going to go unguided and really do your own structure, your own workout. You're going with a crew of people, and the people are with you, and they're all suffering just like you are in CrossFit. And you're bearing one another's burdens. You're encouraging one another. You're spurring one another on. That's a feel-good verse. But then Paul says, each one tests his own work. Each one must bear his own load. So what does that mean? Where does that come from? So I want to trace that argument through the text. And I want to, from the outset, say that it's not contradictory to the command to bear one another's burdens. But I want to trace that argument through the text here. So to start off, in verse 1, you've got the command to restore the one who is caught in transgression. with a spirit of gentleness. And then he says, keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. That's the beginning of Paul's argument that you are to bear your own load. So Paul is beginning to say, bear your own load by saying, keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. What's the context here? Someone is caught in transgression. You are to go to them and restore them. And what Paul is saying is, you are to guard your own heart. You are to protect your own self from sin. And the spirit that he's saying this in is in the context of Jude. So the letter of Jude, verses 22 and 23. Don't turn there. Just write that down. I'm going to read this for you. This is what the author says. He says, and have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. So it's consistent to love someone in sin, to pursue them and seek to help them, and at the same time, to have a zeal and an eagerness to protect yourself, to guard your own heart, to make sure that you are not being tempted and pulled into sin. Those things are not mutually exclusive. You can do one and the other. You can pursue the sinner and remain holy. And that's what Paul is saying. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. We also see this emphasized in this phrase here. If anyone is caught in sin, and I want you to understand that phrase. If anyone is caught in sin. Now, that could mean if you catch someone in sin. I don't think it means that. So I've been studying this quite a bit and looking at the original language, and what I think this means is if someone is captured by sin. So it's not you sneaking up on someone and catching them red-handed in their sin. It's someone being ensnared by sin. What I believe this is saying is if we were to look at Psalms and Proverbs, in Psalm 124:7, we see we have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. That's the idea here. Proverbs 5:22, the iniquities of the wicked ensnare him and he is held fast in the cords of his sins. Proverbs 12:13, an evil man is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous escapes from trouble. So what we see here is not that when you catch a brother red-handed in their sin, what we see here is the understanding that sin is deceptive. Sin is deceptive. Sin can ensnare you. Sin is like a bear trap that's been laid open in a field. And the reason that you are to keep watch on yourself lest you too be tempted is because sin can ensnare you. That's the context. Keep watch on yourself. And then he goes on, he says, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So we're to help people who are caught in sin, but realize that you could just as easily be caught in sin. You can just as easily be ensnared. You have no right, Christian, to look at someone and say, well, I'm better than that guy. Well, at least I'm not ensnared by that sin. You don't see me falling to that. And that's really the context that sets up the rest of our understanding of Paul's command to bear your own load. He continues, he says, but let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load. So he commands them to test their own work. How do you test your work? How do you test your own work? So if you were to look at, if you were to back out and look at the context of the book, the letter to Galatia, If you were to back to chapter 5, verses 16 and following, you see the fruits of the flesh versus the fruits of the Spirit. And this really is the test of those who are spiritual. In verse 16 in chapter 5, it says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Now, the works of the flesh, here's the test. Here's where we begin the test. "The works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." So that's one side of the test. What's the other side of the test? Verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit." The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another to envying one another. So what Paul is saying is you are to keep watch of your own work. You are to test your own work. And the test of your work has nothing to do with the people around you. The test of your own work has nothing to do with your neighbor's sin. You are not good because your neighbor is sinful. You cannot boast in your righteousness because someone else is unrighteous. We have papaya trees in our yard. One of them, on one side of the yard, has a fungus. I don't know what it is. It turns white and it gets all crinkly and it dies and it doesn't produce fruit. On the other end of the yard, another papaya tree has white flies. And so it produces a little bit of fruit, but they're never good because the white flies eat everything, right? Now, if the papaya tree that has white flies were to look over to the papaya tree that has a fungus and says, "Well, hey, I don't have a fungus, so I'm good," the standard is wrong. You are not righteous because of someone else's unrighteousness. That's Paul's point here. That's Paul's his meaning in saying, test your own work. Keep watch on your own self. Boast in yourself and not your neighbor. He's exhorting those at Galatia, don't compare yourself to the people around you. Test the fruits of the Spirit. Test the fruits of the Spirit. He continues. He says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will reap from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." So there's a connection between verse 3, Paul says, "For if anyone thinks he is something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself." And Paul's command in verse 7 to not be deceived. Paul is saying, do not think you are righteous because you don't struggle with a particular sin. Test your fruit. What are you sowing to? What are you reaping in your life? Paul is saying your assessment of your righteousness is based, if your assessment of your righteousness is based on how good your life looks as compared to other people, you are deceived, if you think that you are too good to be ensnared by the sin that that person is caught in, you are deceived. Each individual is called to test their own works, to bear the fruits of the Spirit, to look at those around them who are ensnared, and to know that you are not better than them, and that you must be on guard against sin. Each individual is called and equipped by the Holy Spirit to sow to the Spirit and to reap eternal life. And that's what it means to bear your own load, is to sow to the Spirit. And when you sow to the Spirit and you reap eternal life, you can be boastful. You can break out the pregame cleats, right, and do your end zone dance, right? You can. So, has anyone seen Odell Beckham Jr.? Anybody know who that is? He's a football player. He thinks he's a really big deal. He's a pretty amazing athlete. He's boastful, right, because he scores a touchdown. And though maybe that's, is that what Paul's saying? Is Paul saying that you can be boastful? You can think highly of yourself, of your works, when you sow to the Spirit? I don't think that's right. I don't think that's what he's saying. We have all these texts excluding boasting. And when's the last time you went to a small group or Sunday school and you ask how someone's doing and they're just like, man, I'm killing it. I'm such a good person. So I want to look at the context of Galatia, what's happening in Galatia right now. You have this group of people coming in, and they're imposing works on top of the gospel. So Paul has come, he's proclaimed the gospel. We are justified by faith alone. You cannot accomplish your own righteousness. You are saved by grace, the grace of Christ on the cross. Believe the gospel. That is enough. And this group comes in with the law, and they say, the gospel and circumcision. The gospel and observing months and days and years and calendars and feasts. The gospel and works. The gospel and you have to do something to get the approval that Christ grants to be righteous, to be truly righteous, you have to add something to the gospel. And I would encourage you guys to read this letter, because the letter to Galatia is one big proverbial table flip from Paul. He is just angry. He is super upset that people are coming in and adding to the gospel. There's really, really harsh language from Paul towards those people throughout the book. But I want to highlight, I think a good summary of Paul's perception of what's happening can be highlighted at the end of the letter. In chapter 6, verse 11, he says, "See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing of the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may," what? "Boast in your flesh." So this group is teaching that more than just believing the gospel is necessary. And throughout the book, Paul is saying things, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him." He says that they are distorting the gospel. He says, if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. He says, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" He says, "You are severed from Christ." That's what he says to those who accept circumcision. He says, "You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. Paul is exposing this as a false gospel. So if we're not boasting in our works, if we're not adding something to the gospel and then boasting in that work, what are we boasting in? So to sum up, bearing your own load, we're not boasting in our works. We're not boasting in our accomplishments as opposed to other people who are caught in sin. We are boasting in the fact that we are a new creation. We're boasting in, because we're no longer slaves to the world, but we're in Christ. We're boasting that we're not enslaved to fulfilling the law, but we're declared righteous in Christ. The point here is not that you are, is not that if you're a good enough Christian, you get to brag about it. The point is that as one who has been saved from the crushing penalty of the law, you want to testify to the work of Christ in your life. This is what Christian boasting should look like. This is Psalm 40. This is what Christian boasting looks like. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and he set my feet on a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. I delight to do your will, oh my God. Your law is within my heart. I have told, this is boasting, I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. Christian boasting is not saying, look how good I am. Look at my works. Christian boasting is saying, look at the work of Christ. Look at what Jesus has saved me from. Look at what Jesus has done in my life. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, Paul says, and because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Boast in the Lord. So what is bearing your own load? What does it mean to bear your own load? It means that you believe the gospel anew each day. You boast in the work of Christ in your life. You know that he has filled you with the Holy Spirit. You flee sin. And you sow to the Spirit and bear the fruits of the Spirit. Sow to the Spirit and reap eternal life. That's your application. For that point, your application for bear your own load is to know that that's just the normal Christian life. That's just the normal Christian life. Believe the gospel, proclaim the gospel, hate sin, sow to the Spirit, and bear fruit. That's what it means to bear your own load. So that's what Paul tells them. You're called to bear your own load. You're called to believe the gospel. You're not better than anyone who's ensnared in sin. You're not boasting in your works. You're boasting in the gospel. You're boasting in what Christ has done in you. You're fleeing sin. You're sowing to the Spirit. You reap eternal life. Bear your own load. The second point this morning. Bear one another's burdens. As I've already said, I don't think that you have to only choose one of these things. I think that you're actually commanded to do both of these things. Bear your own load, sow to the Spirit, reap eternal life. Also, bear one another's burdens. Let's follow that argument through through the text here, Paul says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." What is the law of Christ? I actually preached on this a few months ago, John 13, verse 24, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." Matthew 22, verse 39, he says, he's asked, what is the greatest commandment? And he says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second," what? "A second is like it." So that's a big deal. This is the great and the first commandment, and there's a second that's like it. What is the second? "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." So how creative is it for Paul, who's dealing with the people who are tempted to be struggling with fulfilling the law? They're tempted to return to the law. And he's saying, "You want a law? You want a law? The law of Christ. The law of Christ. Love one another. Bear one another's burdens." When you are bearing one another's burdens, you are fulfilling the law of Christ. Here's a law for you. The law of Christ. Here's the exact opposite of depending on the law for your righteousness. Here's the exact opposite of thinking you're better than others. Go and bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So, how do we need to understand this command? How should we understand the command to bear one another's burdens? I want to look at two things in particular. Who is to bear the burden? And what does the burden bearing look like specifically? So who and what? Who? What does chapter 6, verse 1 say? Who is to bear the burdens? You who are spiritual. Okay, so maybe pastors? Or a counselor, someone who's got a degree, someone with a seminary degree or a certification or ordination at least, right? Sunday school teacher, who bears the burdens? You who are spiritual. You who are spiritual, bear the burdens. You who are spiritual, go and restore with a spirit of gentleness. Some people think that it's pastors and leaders who are supposed to be, they're the ones who they think are mentioned in verse 6 where it says, "Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with those who teaches." I don't think that's what that verse means. I believe that the one who is spiritual is the one who's walking according to the Spirit. As it says in chapter 5, where it lists the fruits of flesh, the fruits of the Spirit. The one who is walking according to the Spirit, the one who is bearing the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Who is that? It's not some super spiritual seminary grad. It's anyone who's been redeemed by the blood of the cross and filled with the Holy Spirit. You, if you have believed the gospel and turned from your sin, have been filled with the Spirit. You are the one who is spiritual. You bear burdens. This is not Pastor Jim or Pastor Bill or Pastor Randy. It's not their exclusive job. They have not trademarked this. This is your job. This is the job of everyone who is spiritual. You are to bear one another's burdens. What does it look like specifically? So let's break it down. What does it look like to bear burdens specifically according to this text? He says, if anyone is caught in transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. That's what it looks like. It's really that simple. It's not something that you need to go get a degree for or an ordination for or a training for. Those things are helpful. If you want to go to seminary, great. If you don't, this is still your job. If you don't want to go get a certificate or whatever, this is still your job. Part of sowing to the Spirit, reaping eternal life, and bearing your own load is being able to bear one another's burdens. It's simply recognize that a brother has stepped into a snare. Bear the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness, and restore. Go and restore them. So it's how gracious is it for Paul to say restore in a spirit of gentleness? I have a puppy, and it's a big puppy. So the bladder in this dog is the size of a chihuahua. And so when you're house training this puppy, it makes a big mess. And I chide. So the term chide, we don't use that a lot today, but chide. I come with a rolled up newspaper and I swat and I say, bad dog. Bad dog. Right? I also have children. And they're way messier than the dog. It's different. It's different, right? We're to come in a spirit of gentleness. If you're teaching your child to walk and they fall, bad baby. No, spirit of gentleness. It's okay. It's okay. Get up. You can do it. Come on. You can do it. A spirit of gentleness because of what it means to be caught in sin. There are snares. And bearing our own load means looking out for the snares, being careful not to step in the snares ourselves. And when our brother is in the snare, we help them out. We restore in a spirit of gentleness. I want to look at verse 6 real quick. It says, let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. So this has traditionally been used, I think, to say we should pay our preachers. We should pay pastors. I don't think that's what's happening. That would be super random in the middle of a bunch of text that doesn't have anything to do that for Paul to say, like, pay your pastor. I think we should pay our pastor. I think there are clear instructions in the New Testament to do that. I think we should pay Pastor Randy and Lord willing, another pastor, like we should do that. Set apart men to be faithful and preparing to preach and pray. This text, though, is different. And I had to really dig and I had to get out the Greek textbooks from school and some commentaries and really study. Like the words here are pretty interesting. It says, let the one who is taught the word share all good things. We're going to focus on that phrase, share all good things. So the term share here, it connotes, it can mean fellowship, it can mean communicate, it can mean bear. So oftentimes in the New Testament, this term is used for like bearing burdens. And all good things, the terms there, that's the terminology, that word for good is often used by Paul when he talks about the gospel, when he talks about ministry, when he talks about the Holy Spirit. There's nothing material about it. So he's not saying pay your pastor material goods. He's saying fellowship in things that are intrinsically good. Not material stuff, spiritual stuff. Fellowship in things that are intrinsically good, the gospel, the fruits of the Spirit. So oftentimes, what we like to think of, like, okay, there's the one who is taught, is way down here, and the teacher is way up here, right? And the one who's taught needs to somehow return the favor to the teacher. I don't think that's what's happening. I think what's being demonstrated here is fellowship in the gospel, in deep, deep community. So this, I don't think this is a picture of a pastor shepherding and getting paid for it. I think there's a context for older, mature saints discipling younger, less mature saints, but I don't think that's this context. This is a picture of a group of Spirit-filled Christians who are zealous to constantly point one another to Christ. The picture here is not of a teacher rebuking and a student paying him for that. The picture is of a saint going to a fellow saint, a soldier going to a fellow soldier and saying, "This sin will kill you. This is not who you are in Christ. Come with me. Flee with me from this sin. Turn from this sin. We need to hate this sin. I want to bear your burdens. Come with me and boast with me in the work of Christ." And the one who is caught in sin responds, "Yes, I want to flee sin. I hate sin. I want to flee this sin. I want to share in the good news of the gospel with you. I want to fellowship in the good news of Christ with you. I want to boast with you in the work of Christ. I want to bear the fruits of the Spirit. I want to turn from sin." I think that's what's being pictured here, is a group of Spirit-filled saints zealously pursuing one another and pointing one another to the gospel. And so your application for this point is really this. This is just the Christian life. This is the normal Christian life. It's really unfortunate that the modern church has come to the place that it's just weird to confront sin. That it's just really weird and unnatural to confess sin. It's really weird and unnatural to go to someone and with a spirit of gentleness say, like, "Brother, this is sin. Let's come with me and boast with me in the gospel." It's unfortunate. This is normal Christian life. Bear your own load. Flee sin. Avoid the snares. Sow to the Spirit. Reap eternal life. Have a spirit of gentleness and go to the one caught in sin. If you're caught in sin, turn from that sin. Go with the brother who has come to you. Turn from that sin. Realize brothers want to help you escape and flee that sin. Pursue the gospel. To pursue righteousness. This is day in and day out Christian life. A really practical application, really like the most practical application. Ultimately, this points to the importance of being in community as a believer. This points to the importance of being in a community as a believer. Deep community with brothers and sisters is absolutely integral to who you are in your capacity to fight sin, in your ability to boast in Christ. So you should be a part of the community. Here that looks like small group. Small groups is where community is deepened. It's where you really get to know one another on a more personal basis. It's where accountability happens. It's where encouragement is given. Sunday mornings, how many times has your sin been confronted by a sermon? It's pretty natural, right? How many times have you been restored in a spirit of gentleness to right thinking about sin by the faithfulness of Pastor Randy opening the Bible and explaining it to you right here? Be a part of this community. Be a part of this community. Extracurricular stuff, spontaneous meals, spontaneous hangouts, informal counseling times, informal times of discipleship, formalizing a set period of time to mentor and disciple, going to an older saint and saying, hey, can we set up a time where we meet regularly? I actually have the privilege of working with a believer, and there's been an instance where I was sharing anxiety over adoption. So like, okay, we're trying to adopt. It's expensive. Our AC broke. Our car broke. Everything broke. It's all expensive. We want to adopt. It's going to be expensive. We're like, I'm being anxious. And you know what? His brother was able to say, hey, you know, you're dancing around a snare of sin. In a spirit of gentleness, say, hey, there's a snare. Look instead to the truth of the gospel. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus who cares for you. Jesus will provide everything you need. Look at the birds of the air. Consider the lilies of the field. Day in and day out, formal meetings, sermons, small groups, lunch, work, home, family, friends, point one another to Jesus. Take the time to speak truth in love and gentleness to one another. This is just normal Christian life. Last point, bear everything with perseverance. This is a really important one. Verses 9 and 10, Paul says, let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. We are called to bear our own burden, to bear our own load. We're called to bear one another's burdens. This is normal Christian life. And normal Christian life can get really, really tiring. You just be over it sometimes. I'm tired of my sin. I'm tired of struggling with sin. I'm tired of being confronted in sin. I'm tired of this person continuing in the sin that I've pointed out repeatedly. I'm tired of having to confront that sin. I'm tired of needing to fight anxiety. I'm tired of being gentle with my children. I'm tired of miscommunication with my spouse. I am tired of normal Christian life. Consider all the examples of normal Christian life. So like a young mom with kids feels like she never accomplishes anything. Her shirts always smell like spit up. Her house is always messy. Her social life is really, really like dying. She has a hard time finding opportunities to share the gospel. Sometimes she's just tired of her kids. Or how about my brother and my sister-in-law in February gave birth to my niece. My niece was stillborn. So my brother has been called to bear his own load, right? To walk in righteousness, to remind himself of the gospel, to remind himself of God's goodness, but he's also got a grieving wife. He's called to call her to see the goodness of God, to see the sovereignty of God, to know that God is good, that God will provide. A guy whose job has become miserable, He feels like it's a dead end. It's barely making ends meet. He works late. He's tired when he gets home. He's prone to being lazy when he gets home, and he justifies it by how hard his job is. Singles wanting to be married and not having the opportunity yet. Single parents having gone through divorce and really trying to be faithful as a single parent. Those who live with unbelieving spouses, older saints, and all the struggles that come there, newly married couples who are just trying to figure out how do I talk to this woman that I married? Pastors, does your theology leave room for pastors getting tired? Pastor Randy's a really cool guy. And he's a beast. But he gets tired. Pastor Bill, Pastor Jim, they're going to get tired. You are each called to bear your own load. Sow to the Spirit, bear the fruits of the Spirit, hate sin, flee sin, and you're called to bear the burdens of those around you. And the temptation is going to be to grow weary in this. Hey, it's an exciting time at KBC. We just got pastors, we're church planting, we got AC. That's going to wear down. You're in it for the long haul. This is going to get old real quick. You're called not to grow weary. You're called to persevere in doing good. You're called to consistently go and bring people away from sin. Spirit of gentleness, restore them. Get your foot out of the bear trap. Let me help you. Come, let us boast in Christ together. You need one another. You need one another. Be ready to bear one another's burdens. Be ready to sow to the Spirit and reap eternal life. One of the most gracious parts of this text is that it points to the fact that you are not going to be sowing to the Spirit long. So we got green bean seeds, and we put them in like a water bottle cut in half, and my children are not patient at all. And so it sat in the window shield. We'd water it, and they just, nothing's happening. It took them like 3 days to sprout. The Christian life is much longer than that. But the reality is it's just not that long. Soon enough, you're going to be done sowing. You will have fully reaped eternal life. There will be no more snares. There will be no more guarding yourself from sin. This is going to end. You can persevere to the end because you have the Spirit, you have one another, and you have the promise of eternal life with Christ in perfection. So I just want to urge you guys, bear your own load and boast in Christ. Sow to the Spirit, reap eternal life. Bear one another's burdens. Have a spirit of gentleness. Pursue those who are straying and restore them. And realize that this is normal Christian life. And you are called to persevere in that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for your Spirit and for giving us the Holy Spirit and the capacity to love one another. We thank you for the command to restore in gentleness, that we're not bound by law. We don't bring the law to one another to condemn one another. We bring the gospel We bring the good news. Father, I pray that you would help us to do this, that you would help this community to bear one another's burdens, to bear their own load, to bear the fruits of the Spirit. We pray all this in your name. Amen.